Chapter 10. It took nearly an hour, but soon Valerie started to calm down. Her legs stopped moving, and the were-turtle simply stared up at the ceiling helplessly as she slowly accepted her fate.
"There we go,"
Jeanine said as she stepped toward the creature.
"Perhaps she needs to feel my or Leah's touch. That always seems to turn you back."
"I doubt Valerie will get much out of that love."
Ada shook her head.
"It needs to be Carter. She will respond to his touch, for sure."
"Well, I'm not so sure. I was literally touching her for the entire fight, and it didn't seem to do anything but piss her off more."
"That's because Carter Hatfield wasn't the one touching her. At least not the Carter Hatfield Valerie is comfortable enough to try and make love to."
"Okay,"
Leah said as she shook her head and plugged her ears.
"Don't need to hear the nitty-gritty details of my friend's attempted sexcapades. Turn back into a human, Carter."
Jeanine agreed.
"That might just be the thing that puts her over the edge and brings Valerie back to us."
I gave the redhead a nod, and then I summoned black magic all around my body. A split second later, I felt the muscles in my body start to contract as my canines and snout shrank, and the hair on my body thinned back out into tiny black fibers. My fingers grew back, and within a matter of seconds, I was back to my normal self. Ada licked her lips as she looked down at my spandex-covered manhood.
"I was expecting you to be nude, considering the activities you were engaged with before."
"Now's not the time, Ada," I said as I stepped up to the were-turtle. I was extremely cautious as I approached, mainly due to the fact that only a thin layer of spandex was covering my most important bits. As a Midwesterner, I'd seen plenty of turtles in my day, and I knew they always went after a worm when they saw it. But my hand touched Val's underbelly as I took a deep breath and tried to regulate my own heart rate, and then I began to stroke the were-turtle's stomach in soft, vertical motions. At first, Valerie didn't seem to care, but after a few seconds of stroking, I slowly began to hear her heart rate decrease. Eventually, the muscles in her body relaxed, and I knew I was making progress.
"I think it's working."
"Come on, Val," I said as I petted the woman's stomach. "I know you're still in there." The were-turtle closed her eyes, and then I felt her leathery skin start to shift beneath my touch. Her flesh began to grow more taut, and the imperfections slowly started to fade. Then it began to change color. The faded gray skin tone grew more colorful, until it became the same mocha-colored glow I was used to seeing on Valerie. Her snout started to shrink as her mouth grew back its lips and lost its deadly point, and then her appendages contracted as they returned to their normal size. Val's underbelly turned from a light tan cluster of scales into her toned human belly, and then finally her shell retracted back into her back. Before me now laid a naked, passed-out Valerie.
"Damn,"
Ada whistled.
"She's really, really hot when she's naked and wet."
"Now's not the time, Ada!"
Leah echoed my earlier sentiment with a roll of her eyes, and then approached her friend.
"Go grab her a towel, and then we can get her out to the couch."
"Party pooper."
Ada frowned, but she obeyed the command. Leah and I both placed one of Valerie's arms around our shoulders, and then we lifted her up to her feet and started to slowly walk her out into the main hallway. As we exited the now-destroyed shower room, Ada strutted up with a white body towel in her hands and handed it to us, and then we started the process of covering up Val. Once her delicate, naked body was covered up, I picked her up and moved her down the hall and into the main lounge area of the second floor, and Leah dogged my steps the entire way. Then I placed Valerie onto a couch, and Leah and I both let out sighs of relief before we plopped down in the leather chairs across from her.
"I can't even imagine how tired she must be."
"I can. I could probably sleep for a week straight."
"Unfortunately, that's not possible. Newt is still out there somewhere. And now that we know he's impervious to hexes, the situation becomes even more dire. We must find him before he strikes again."
"Also, we can't just leave Val like this. We need to help her figure out how to control this. What did you do, Carter?"
"What do you mean?" I asked with a tilt of my head.
"How did you learn to control the murderous rage that comes along with your transformation? How do you keep it from taking over completely?"
"I didn't." I shook my head. "I mean, I've never had to. I was in the driver's seat from the very first time I changed. I may have had more animalistic urges, but I was still in control of myself."
"That's not surprising. Werepantherism has been inside you since birth, Carter. Other were-creatures, like the one Valerie has apparently become, are transformed later in life by some sort of outside stimuli, which is why they struggle to control their abilities. I'm sure Val will get the hang of it all in a few months."
"But we don't have a few months, which is all the more reason to find Newt and get him to talk."
if it even was Newt who changed her.
Naomi said with a frown. What do you mean? Of course it was Newt. You heard Valerie's story, right? That giant creature she crashed into gave her its blood, and that must have transformed her.
But, see, that's what doesn't sit right with me.
Naomi shook her head.
So the creature had to cut open Val's shoulder and pour its blood into her body? That's not how any other were-creature goes about changing its victims. Explain, love.
Ada prodded.
I'm afraid I don't quite get what you are saying. Okay, so your werewolves and werebears only need to bite somebody to change them. If they don't completely devour the body, of course.
Maybe that's just how were-turtles do things. It's not like they can bite people to change them, considering a single bite from one of those things is enough force to break through steel.
What if it wasn't a were-turtle that changed her, though?
What else could it have been?
Leah grumbled.
She said a giant creature hit her car, and then she just so happens to turn into a were-turtle after that creature gives her its blood? Seems like way too many coincidences, Naomi.
Actually, she might be onto something.
Janine interjected as she tapped her lips.
Val never quite saw the creature, right? It was always secluded in the shadows. Somebody better start explaining things really soon!
Leah said with a shake of her head.
Because I'm getting more and more confused and frustrated by the second.
I mentioned vampires, cultists, and the undead often use the blood conversion method. But there is another group that does this sort of thing. A group of beings that hadn't crossed my mind because, well, nobody's seen them in centuries.
I don't like where this is going, but continue.
The gods, Carter.
Janine said in a firm tone.
This is how the gods create their servants.
Didn't you just say earlier werepanthers are born the way we are? I raised an eyebrow at the redhead.
You are? But you have the blood of Bast coursing through your veins, Carter. That is the reason you have your abilities. Bast is the goddess of fertility and childbirth, which is why she can give her blood to people while they are still in the womb. The other gods and goddesses are not so lucky.
So what?
Leah asked as she tilted her head to the right and scrunched her face.
Are you trying to say a literal Egyptian god or goddess came down to Earth for the first time in thousands of years just so they could cause Val to crash and turn her into a were-turtle?
As crazy as it sounds, yes.
Naomi nodded.
Think about the enemies we and Carter have made recently. Both Khonsu and Kek want us dead, and we've been able to fight off everything they've thrown at us so far. They're probably desperate to kill you, and what better way than to transform a woman you're probably going to fuck, which would trigger the transformation.
That actually kind of makes sense.
Ada mused.
Didn't you say Newt identified himself as a servant of Kek? He was a were-turtle, too.
All the more reason to find this asshole. He can clarify all of this. Honestly, it doesn't matter whether or not Valerie was turned by Kek or Newt. All that matters is we get those guys off our tails. And we make sure Val's not going to hulk out on us again.
Well, we certainly know what calms her down. Though I can't imagine petting her belly would be an option when she's upright or attacking.
Definitely not. I shook my head. I think I just need to try and keep her away from any of those stimuli that might cause her to change. At least until we can figure out how to teach her how to control her transformations better.
Poor girl.
Ada frowned.
I don't know what I would do if I got told I couldn't ride you like a pony at will.
Maybe you could train her, Carter.
Leah suggested.
You seem to have a pretty level head on your shoulders.
I plan on it. Although we also have to work on getting her to not attack me when she does transform. If we can have a were-turtle on our side, we would be a pretty fucking unstoppable team. But that's not happening if she wants to put my head on a pike.
That's probably the Kek blood coursing through her veins. He created her to be your natural enemy, Carter, just like the rest of his stupid minions.
Where am I?
Valerie's voice asked weakly as she began to sit up on the couch.
Why am I in a towel?
Oh, boy. She didn't remember anything. That was a bad sign, considering she also couldn't remember what had happened in the woods last night. You're probably going to want to take a deep breath. I warned as I placed my hand on her bare mocha-toned leg. It's a long story and one that's hard to believe. My friends and I spent the next 15 minutes going over all that had happened in the shower room. We told Val about how she'd transformed into a deadly were-turtle, about how she'd destroyed the shower room in an attempt to take me out. I explained to her how she was finally defeated, as well as what got her to transform back into a regular human. When we finally finished, Valerie just sat there staring off into space with wide, blank eyes. Almost like she was in a trance.
You don't believe us, do you?
No, Leah.
Valerie said as she continued her thousand-yard stare.
I do believe you. That's the problem.
I'm remembering bits and pieces, like pieces of a movie or something. I got turned into a were-turtle by some strange creature in the woods. I'm a bloodthirsty monster that tried to kill you and Carter and Ada and Naomi and Janine. And now I'm starting to believe I actually killed that jogger.
No way. I shook my head. No fucking way did you do that.
How can you say that?
Val scoffed, but tears began to well in her green eyes.
I literally just tried to kill you, Carter.
That's because I'm a werepanther, and I was your very specific target. Then you tried to kill the others because they came to my aid. You might have been created to be an assassin, but you definitely aren't a cold-blooded murderer.
I'm glad you believe that.
The brunette sniffled and wiped at her eyes.
But all the evidence points to the contrary.
You're not a killer, and we're going to work with you to try and make sure you don't try to hurt us again, okay?
Okay.
Val nodded and took a deep breath.
I just don't want to hurt anyone. I don't know if I could live with myself if I killed an innocent person. Let me go get you some coffee, love.
Ada offered as she patted Val on the shoulder.
I know that always helps me when I'm in a funk. I'm good, Ada.
Val shook her head.
I insist.
The succubus declared as she placed her hand over her heart.
I have a few phone calls to make anyway, so I'll be headed in that direction. I'll bring you some coffee on the way back, okay? I doubt coffee will do much good.
Val muttered to herself.
But thank you.
What kind of calls do you have to make?
Naomi asked with an unamused expression.
Have you seen what the shower room looks like now?
Ada scoffed and pointed down the hall.
I need to contact a plumber, a handyman, and a mason at the very least. Depending on how bad the damage is, I might have to just gut that entire room and then create something new in its place. Sorry.
Val winced and seemed to shrink into herself.
Oh, don't worry, love. I've been dying to redecorate anyway.
The succubus winked.
I'll be right back.
If it's any consolation, Val...
Leah began as she set a comforting hand on her friend's shoulder.
Carter here is going to help train you and keep that monster at bay.
For now, I reminded the polywarm woman. If we can somehow figure out how to make you less inclined to rip my head off when you're in your were-turtle form, then maybe we can figure out how to make you transform at will.
But not until you're less inclined to kill us all.
Janine added with a nervous chuckle. Right, I smirked. That's pretty important.
I still can't believe this is real.
Val sighed and dropped her head into her hands.
I suppose this is what I get, though, for making such a big fuss about how you two were secretly paranormal beings and didn't tell me. I guess now I've got my own skeletons in the closet, one of which includes a potential murder.
Don't even think about that, Val.
Leah argued.
It's hard not to.
Valerie bit her lip and looked on the verge of tears again.
Especially since I end up blacking out whenever I change. Okay, so maybe I didn't kill that jogger in the woods. That's not to say I didn't hurt anybody else. That I won't in the future.
Oh, you will.
Naomi snickered as she pointed between the four of us.
It's our job to make sure you only hurt the bad people, though.
Well, I'd like to start with the monster that transformed me.
The brunette woman said, and her eyes narrowed into thin green slits.
He and I have a lot of unfinished business to attend to.
Now you're sounding like a member of the team.
Naomi declared with a sly grin.
Though I'm a bit skeptical we can take down Keck even as a team.
Not with that attitude we can't. I said with a click of my tongue.
This is going to sound a bit dumb.
Valerie admitted as her green eyes looked down at the coffee table before us.
But who is Keck? No question is dumb.
Janine smiled warmly.
Keck is the Egyptian god of chaos, who often appears as a frog-like creature who rules over the seas. He's the one that Nut serves, along with Orglen and Kekuatu the Shadow Man, and many others.
Aren't two of those creatures ones you claim to have killed?
Exactly. Which is why Keck wants revenge on us. We've taken out a couple of his most loyal servants.
Do you remember anything else about the night you returned? Because we've been trying to figure out if this was a simple were-turtle attack, or if... if you were visited by Keck himself.
Come on. Visited by an Egyptian god in the flesh. Here in Cincinnati, Ohio.
I know it sounds strange, but keep in mind, I have met with Bast face to face, and we have encountered several major paranormal creatures in this city and its surrounding areas.
If I wanted revenge on my enemy,
Naomi said with a shrug,
I'd definitely come down to Earth and turn one of his friends into a bloodthirsty, nearly indestructible servant who is normally loyal only to me.
Are you sure it was a were-turtle you saw that night?
I have no idea.
Val admitted as she bit her lip.
It was a large, scale-covered creature.
Large as in tall or wide?
Both,
the woman said as her eyes narrowed.
I remember its silhouette being somewhat wide, but it was also nearly 10 feet tall.
I don't think were-turtles are 10 feet tall. Val was only about as tall as you were, Carter. Val was a female, though!
Leah reminded us all.
Females are sometimes smaller than their male counterparts.
You know, there is only one way to find out.
Ada's voice announced, as the succubus strutted back into the room.
And that is by finding Newt, and then probably beating it out of him. I like the sound of that.
Naomi chuckled as she cracked her knuckles.
Here you go, love.
Ada leaned over and handed a steaming white mug of coffee to Valerie.
I hope you like it black, because we seem to be plumb out of sugar and milk at the moment.
That's fine.
Val nodded as she took the cup.
Thank you, Ada.
Valerie blew the steam away from her drink before she held it up to her dark lips and tilted it back ever so slightly. And we all watched as the were-turtle woman gulped down a few sips of the coffee, licked her lips, and then let out a long sound.
See?
Ada grinned.
I told you it would make you feel better.
What did you do, Ada? Did you slip a bit of rum in there while you were at it?
How dare you suggest such a thing?
The succubus winked.
This is simply Ada's house blend coffee made from some of the finest fair trade beans in Nigeria.
You're a coffee entrepreneur now, too?
Leah raised an eyebrow.
Is there anything you don't dabble in?
Love.
Ada clicked her tongue.
When you've been around for as long as I have, you've got a toe in a million different businesses. Some successful and others complete crashing disasters.
And which one is the coffee business?
The blonde woman asked.
The jury is still out.
Ada said, and then she nodded at Val.
Though it seems like one of our customers is highly satisfied. It is damn good coffee.
Val chuckled through her sad expression. It doesn't matter if it was Keck or Newt who turned you. All that matters now is that we're here for you, Val. We won't let Keck or any of his fuckwit henchmen hurt you, and we're gonna try and help figure out how you can control this transformation.
Don't you mean get rid of it?
Val asked with fearful eyes.
Isn't there some way to cure me?
My friends and I all shared somber expressions as we tried to figure out how to break the bad news to Valerie. The tension in the room was so thick it could be cut with a knife, and none of us seemed to want to say anything.
Val.
Janine finally broke the silence.
There is no cure. What?
The brunette gasped, and the coffee cup shook in her hands.
What do you mean there's no cure? Surely there's something you can do to get rid of this condition. I can't risk turning into a human turtle every time I get horny or angry. Can't you cast some sort of spell to get rid of it?
That's not how it works, I'm afraid.
Naomi said with a frown.
And even if that were the case, it appears magic doesn't work on were-turtles at all.
No. No, 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 no. There has to be some kind of ancient artifact you can pick up that'll permanently change me back, or a ritual or something you can perform when the planets align a certain way. I can't be stuck as a were-turtle the rest of my life.
This isn't an Indiana Jones movie.
Janine sighed.
There's no cure for were-ism. Once somebody is afflicted with a condition, they have it for life.
But that's not a bad thing, I interjected as I placed my hand on Val's shoulder. I can help you learn how to control it, Valerie. Then you'll be in the driver's seat and you'll never have to worry about accidentally transforming ever again. Hell, if you want to stay in your human form the rest of your life, then you can do that too. But there's no cure, I'm afraid.
Valerie hung her head as her bottom lip started to quiver, and tears filled her emerald eyes. Then she took a long, deep breath before she looked up at me with the most pathetic look I'd ever seen.
So, that's it, then? I'm stuck like this?
We can make the best of it, Val.
Leah promised her best friend.
Remember what I always used to say? You always have to play with the cards you're dealt. This is one of those times, unfortunately. You have no choice but to live with this condition, though you still have a chance to make something good out of it.
What could I possibly do that would be good?
Valerie scoffed.
I randomly turned into a giant killer snapping turtle at the most inconvenient times.
You could join our team. You and Becca are already practically honorary members, and now that you have an ability that none of the rest of us have, it could be a great help in our current plight.
Which is what? To take over the paranormal world?
Talented and ambitious.
I told you I always liked this one, Carter.
Our goal right now is to keep Khonsu and his lackeys off our back. And apparently Keck now, too. Honestly, taking over the paranormal scene sounds great and all, but I'd kinda just like to be able to take a walk around the local forest without worrying about getting jumped by red robe-wearing assholes.
Basically, he wants to take over Cincinnati first,
Ada added.
Then we can talk about the rest of the world.
Take over is a bit of a stretch. But it's clear we're going to have to eliminate both of those threats before we do anything else. And with the magic-immune tank known as a were-turtle on our side, well, I think we'd be one step closer to getting rid of those fuckwits.
So, you want me to be what?
Valerie raised her eyebrows.
One of your soldiers?
Not a soldier. A partner. Somebody who I could count on to help with the business side of things as a human, and then with the paranormal hunting side of things as a were-turtle. You were already a great addition to our team, Val. The current circumstances only add something even better.
If we can help her learn how to control it.
Leah reminded us.
I really don't want to have to go through what just happened every time she transforms.
Me either.
Ada shuddered.
My repairmen gave me a quote for all these repairs, and it's going to cost quite a pretty penny.
Damn.
Valerie frowned.
I'm really sorry, Ada. You can take it out of my salary.
What? Heavens no, love. One, this is quite a large sum, and that would mean I would basically not have to pay you for the next year. Also, the destruction that happened in there was not your fault, my dear. You were scared and lost control, so it was only natural you would lash out like you did.
I don't think it was just fear. I very specifically remember her screaming, "Die!" at the top of her lungs.
A small kink to work out.
Ada shrugged.
We can get through it. But how? How can we possibly get my transformations under control before I lash out again?
The same way we do everything, I promised, as I leaned forward and looked her in the eyes. As a team. Together.
Oh, you two are going to make such cute babies together.
What?
Val and I asked in unison as we looked over at the succubus.
Here we go,
Leah said with a roll of her eyes.
You're going to hear this a lot, Val, especially if you agree to be part of the team. Indeed.
Janine sighed and fiddled with her glasses.
Ada seems to think all of us are going to become pregnant with Carter's babies, even though we're on various forms of contraception.
I'm telling you.
Ada sing-songed.
Werepanther seed is the strongest in the known world. No human pill or tube-blocking device or magical spell is powerful enough to keep it at bay.
We'll see about that. I think your baby fever is just getting to your head.
Oh, think about how cute a little werepanther were-turtle baby would be, though. Oh, it would have a tiny little shell and be covered in dark hair with pretty green eyes and awkward little legs. My ovaries ache just thinking about it.
Well, I don't think I have to worry about that, since Carter stopped me from making a complete fool of myself.
Valerie laughed awkwardly and dropped her gaze to her lap. You didn't make a fool of yourself, I assured her as I reached out and took her hand.
I threw myself at you,
she said, and peeked up at me through her lashes.
While naked, and tried to get you to...
Don't feel too bad. You're a paranormal creature now, and female paranormal creatures can't resist Carter's sexy werepanther pheromones.
Really?
Val asked quietly, as she turned to the succubus, who nodded.
But what if I had feelings before I was... changed?
Then I would say you weren't the only one. I flashed her a smile and a wink. I meant what I said earlier, Val. You are beautiful, and I would like nothing more than to call you mine. But I'm not going to force you into doing anything, especially right now. We can deal with Keck and Newt first, and we can talk about us later. Some tension seemed to bleed out of Valerie's shoulders, and her cheeks flushed a light pink as she smiled back.
Thank you, Carter. You really are a gentleman. I can see why Leah fell for you so quickly.
I'm not that special. I chuckled modestly before I met her green eyes. What do you say, then? You want to join our team and learn how to control your new abilities?
Yes.
The mocha-skinned woman said with a nod.
Though I don't think I have much of a choice. It's either accept your help or take the risk of hulking out and hurting people.
As Valerie finished her coffee, we all sat around and talked about ways we could possibly help her control the transformation process. I explained to her the calming exercises I used to do whenever I felt I was on the verge of turning, as well as the ways Ada and Janine had found outside influences that affected my state of mind. Soon, Ada's phone pinged, and the succubus flipped it over and unlocked it with a few taps of her finger. Then her face fell into a perplexed frown.
Huh. Carter, were Paul and Tony supposed to come by for anything?
Not that I know of, I said as I shook my head. Why?
Because they're here right now.
The succubus noted as she held her phone up for me to see. Sure enough, Paul and Tony both stood in front of the doorbell camera with stern looks on their faces. Tony rubbed his bald head before he leaned in and pressed the doorbell button once more, all while Paul scowled and narrowed his eyes.
Ada,
Tony said into the camera.
Have you seen Carter? We tried texting and calling him, but he wasn't answering his phone.
Shit, I said as I slapped my palm against my forehead. I'm pretty sure I left it in the closet when Val and I were... before all the commotion happened.
He says he's sorry for not answering,
Ada said as she held down the talk button on the app.
We kinda had a situation here.
You guys too, huh?
Paul grumbled.
Tonight must be the night when all the crazies come out.
What are you talking about?
I asked as I leaned in so they could hear me. Did something happen at Cincy's Jewel? Are you guys all right?
Yeah, we handled it, boss,
Tony said with a proud smile as he held his head high.
But we wanted to know what you wanted us to do next.
Now I was very confused. Was I really supposed to believe these two mortal men fended off an attack by some paranormal creature?
Just, come down here,
Paul said with a grunt.
Before I decide to toss the asshole in my trunk into the Ohio.
Asshole in his trunk? I trailed off as I looked at my friends, but none of them seemed to understand what was going on either.
We'll be right down,
Ada said into the phone, and then she closed her app. Leah, I said to the polywarm, do you want to stay up here with Valerie and keep her company while we go handle whatever's going on downstairs?
Sure thing.
The blonde woman nodded.
But if she hulks out and goes all were-turtle again, I don't think there's much I can do on my own.
Then don't make her horny or angry, I winked as I stood up. I don't think that'll be too hard to do, even for you. Leah just rolled her eyes, but Valerie let out a slight giggle at my joke. Then Ada, Janine, Naomi, and I headed down the hallway and down the staircase that led to the main floor of the building. Once we got down there, we approached the back entrance of the nightclub, tossed open the door, and were met with the smiling faces of Paul and Tony. Well, the smiling face of Tony, at least. Paul never seemed to crack a smile, save for when he finished one of his hard Sudoku puzzles, or when he shot somebody with his Desert Eagle.
Oh, we thought you'd want to see this for yourself, boss,
Tony said as he turned and motioned for us to follow him. Tony and Paul led us out into the parking lot, to one of the yellow Hummers that had been part of Div's security detail. Tony clicked the hatch button as we approached, and the vehicle chirped as its back hatch popped open and slowly rose into the sky. As it did so, I heard a muffled scream, almost as if somebody was trying to talk through duct tape.
Holy fuck.
Naomi trailed off when we got a little bit closer.
Is that who I think it is?
Inside the back of the Hummer was a short, fat man with a terrible comb-over and thick glasses. His face was bruised and bloodied, and his hands and feet were zip-tied together behind his back as he struggled to break free. The man's mouth was covered with a piece of black duct tape, which completely muffled his attempts at screaming for help. But when he saw my friends and I before him, I heard his heartbeat increase to the speed of a hummingbird's wings. His eyes became wide as sweat started to bead on his forehead, and we both instantly recognized each other.
Dr. Hansen?
I gulped.
Fuck me.
Janine gasped with a hint of sarcasm.
I'm definitely not passing my doctorate program now.